This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
It is AM Springfield. You've heard of the Edgar County Watchdogs. We talked to one of the founders, Kirk Allen, at 46 Degrees in Capital City. Mr. Allen, good morning to you. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. Tell me a little history of the group called the Edgar County Watchdogs. How many people are we talking about in this organization?
Well, from an organizational standpoint, there's simply three that are tied directly to the organization, but we've networked with literally thousands of people all over the state. We're a local government accountability nonprofit group, and basically we've researched the laws and actions of public bodies and just basically ensure that they're doing what the law says they're supposed to be doing.
Kirk Allen, where did this interest come from for you personally? Was there an incident that happened?
Yeah, I'm an EMT fire chief, volunteer department, and had an ambulance call one night that led to some further investigation to find out that our dispatchers had not been certified for over 6 years, which explains why the dispatch did not go the way it should have gone. And when we went to my first public meeting was the Emergency Telephone System Board, 911 board meeting, they basically lied to me and told me that the dispatchers were certified. And when I checked with Department of Public Health, that was my first FOIA, we find out that not only were they not certified, but the entire 911 center was not even licensed to operate.
Mm.
So that began the process of, well, if these people are going to lie to me about that, what else are they lying about? And we spent about 2 years right here in Edgar County, and that's where the name came from, exposing local corruption. And once we shared it online, you know, created a website, started sharing it, we were inundated with people asking us for help all over the state. And now we've actually taken the organization to a national level where we train people how to do what we're doing.
What did you do before? Are you still doing something else, or has this become a full-time responsibility for you?
Yeah, for the most part, it's a full gig. I'm a retired Air Force, and I've got back on the family farm, and I run a couple businesses, but for the most part, we do this full-time.
How do you determine if somebody gives you a call, something dealing with local government? How do you determine whether you're going to follow through? I'm sure you have limited resources and limited number of people available.
Usually, when the tips come in, based on our experience, we know exactly where to look and what to ask for to validate whether or not the tip is accurate. And if it is, you know, we contact the local officials and try to correct it behind the scenes. And unfortunately, more often than not, we get pushback and resistance. They don't, want to pay attention to what the law says because they're doing what they've always done. And we end up having to go to meetings and basically address them in a public meeting, write articles about it. And it's sad, but in most cases, they have to be embarrassed into compliance with the law.
How often are you working on this on a daily basis with various cases?
Oh, yeah, we are. In fact, right now we're buried. We have probably 50-plus investigations going on at any given time.
How are you funded? I mean, I presume there is not a charge or a fee for what you folks do?
Nope, we don't charge anybody anything. We're here to help them. We've got a donate button, and out of the their good graces, if they feel like donating, they can donate online or they can send us a check, and that pays for, the minor expenses we have from gas to get there and web, the web hosting and things of that nature. But the expenses aren't really that much. I mean, it's, and that's why we're able to do it. And when we're done, we're teaching them how to do exactly what we do. And it's we, the people, that have to hold our local government accountable.
We hear a lot of folks how struggle it is to obtain a FOIA. Is that an area concern, or is that a challenge all over the state of Illinois when people request FOIAs?
With some public bodies, it literally has become a work of art to get the records you want. And in those cases, there's a reason they don't want to give you records. I mean, we even had one down in Blue Island, small village south of Litchfield, that put up a sign on their door that said, "We are no longer responding to FOIAs until further notice."
Mm.
That didn't work out real well for him.
No, I wouldn't think so. How often are you accused of being partisan? I'm sure people heard we're going to have some people on from Edgar County Watchdog, and it's like, Paris, downstate, strong conservative, strong Republican. It's going to be simply an organization that bashes and looks for all the bad things that Democrats do. Address that, please.
Yeah, we hear that one all the time, and it's rather comical because depending on where we go, I mean, like I said, we're all over the state. if we walk into an organization that, and we don't care what their politics are, we focus on the law doesn't know what party you are. But if it's a Republican, which we even ran our own local Republican out of office here in Edgar County when we first started, that the Republicans will say, well, you're just a Democrat, you know, operative. And it just flips. If we go somewhere that's Democrat controlled, they say, well, you're just a right wing operative for the Republican Party. So we hear it from both sides, which is really comical. You know, the politics, we don't ever get into it. We focus on what the law says and we apply it equally across the board.
Mr. Allen, have you ever sought political office?
I was the township supervisor for 8 years.
Okay.
I was a trustee for two and then a supervisor for 8 years, so 10 years in township government. And I said when I was asked to do it that I won't do more than two terms. And I was done. I'm a local volunteer fire chief here in Kansas, Illinois. And I have absolutely zero political aspirations. I think we're accomplishing a whole lot more doing what we're doing than I could ever do if I was in office.
Did you ever have opportunities to talk about the state level? Did you have opportunity to address some issues with the Rauner administration?
Oh, absolutely. This is one of those partisan issues when we did it. We filed a Office of Inspector General complaint against Rauner and his wife for using basically state emails for political purposes. And when we did that, you know, we were labeled a Madigan, you know, lackey for a better term, because we went after Rauner. And it's like, guys, all we did was uncover that they're using the emails for political purposes and they're not allowed to. And, you know, so that was the Rauner experience. So we got hit pretty hard from the Republicans on that one. We enjoyed it because it just proves our point. And we're getting the same thing now when we're writing things on Governor Pritzker and some of the overreach that he's done. Everybody says that, you know, this is strictly a partisan attack on Pritzker, and they've forgotten that we basically did the same thing to Rauner.
Kirk Allens with the Edgar County Watchdogs. Okay, you mentioned it. Let's talk about what do you perceive to be the overreach being performed or done by J.B. Pritzker at the moment?
Well, what we uncovered, and we wrote about it on March 15th, the enforcement process for the closure of businesses and the isolation and quarantine of people. He basically asked everybody to do it. I think across the state, everybody voluntarily complied. However, the enforcement powers of quarantine and closure lies with your local health departments and the Department of Public Health. They had actually sent out the letters, the form letters, to give people that they're going to close, and there's a due process that must be followed if you're going to do that to people. And finally, we're seeing hundreds of businesses opening up using that process. The health departments don't have sufficient evidence to close them, and therefore they're allowed to be open. And we're seeing that happening all over central and southern Illinois right now. And it's a straight application of the law. And every state's attorney so far has refused to get a court order to close them, which is the process, because the way the law is written, you know, they have to comply with it. And unless they have proof that you are sick, infected, or contagious, they can't close you.
Okay, Mr. Allen, walk me through this again. On what basis are these businesses opening despite what the governor is saying, despite maybe what even their local cities are saying or counties are saying? On what basis are they opening, and you think at the moment free from immunity based on what the law says?
Right. In the Health Department Act, it outlines the criteria for closing of businesses.
Okay.
When the governor issued his executive orders, there was also the distribution, it's called the enforcement documentation, that was given to every local health department in every county. And that's the directive from the governor for enforcement. The
health department. When did they receive it? Mr. Allen, when did they receive that? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, their first one they received on March 16th. They received an updated one on April 17th, and the most recent is April 25th.
And in essence, what did that say? What was the message sent by the governor in those directives to the local health departments?
It was a form letter that was to be given to businesses, and the last paragraph starts with, if you do not comply, and then it tells what the health department can do.
Okay.
So if I'm a business and my doors are open and they come and hand it to me, and say, you're closed. There's also a secondary sheet that we just published that has basically fill in the blanks that says you're closed. And they can come in and immediately close you if they have reason to believe you're, you know, fit the criteria of being contaminated, infectious, or in contact with someone that, you know, that has been. And then the due process triggers. You as an individual, back to our Constitution, have due process rights, and in that law, it gives you, they have to go and get a court order if you refuse to close. Well, in the court order process, they have to be able to prove that you are a infectious or contagious person or have been in contact with it. And we're finding that the health departments are now saying, guys, we have no reason to close you. We don't have the power to close you because you don't fit the criteria that's in the law, so they're opening up. Now, if someone were to be infected and the contact tracing proved that, hey, that business owner, you know, I shook his hand yesterday, that would be a viable thing. They could come in and say, we have to close you because of the evidence we have to prove that you were in contact with a contaminated person. The attorney that is representing Darren Bailey has taken those form letters that we uncovered through the, you know, through our FOIA process and through another representative. And he has now opened up hundreds of businesses, and the state's attorneys have all agreed there's no provision. You know, the enforcement is up to the health departments. They're in charge of quarantine enforcement and closure of business in a pandemic. The state even has a pandemic plan, an influenza pandemic plan that was signed March 2nd that gives the health department the exclusive authority and power for all enforcement of closures. And the governor never talks about that, and it's because the due process that people have is going to show that really he can't get away with doing what he's doing. So far, everybody's voluntarily done it. And as I'm sure you're aware with, you know, everywhere across the state and the country, people have been locked up for a long time. We know this thing's not going away. We accomplished the goal. The hospitals weren't overwhelmed, and that was the primary reason everybody was in lockdown. But people need to survive, and businesses aren't going to survive. And you know, the state's in bad enough shape. We got to get it open up. This is the legal way to do it, and the attorneys are doing it all over the state right now.
Kirk Allen, fascinating information. I apologize we've not been in contact with you folks, the Edgar County Watchdog Group. I know you got involved in Chatham over a water situation a couple of years ago. Is there a website? How can people access the website and find out more about you and what you folks do at the Edgar County Watchdogs?
Yeah, it's EdgarCountyWatchdogs.com or IllinoisLeaks.com. It takes you to the same site. All of our articles are online, clear back to 2011, and there's a tip line on there that people can contact us or email us. We keep everything confidential, and basically we're here to help the people hold their local government accountable.
And in this case, a lot of it now, the state government, but again, the local Department of Public Health certainly has some responsibility. Are you seeing more and more? I know you're in Edgar County, and of course, Paris is the county seat. Are you seeing more and more businesses opening up in your area of the state?
Oh, absolutely, by the hundreds. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if that number will exceed 1,000 by tomorrow.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, there'll be a huge announcement coming out of downstate. Probably it'll be on our website. We're going to live stream the meeting. But we've got several counties that have gone through the legal research, and they've validated that the health departments are the only one that have the power to enforce. Nobody is required to be closed. They can voluntarily close, but they're not required to be closed unless they've been shut down legally through the health department statute process.
Kirk Allen, Edgar County Watchdogs, thank you, my friend, for your time and fascinating information and continued success. I know people are going to say it's partisan. I think you made it very clear today, no matter what political party is in, if the people's rights are being trampled on, as you folks perceive it, and the law is written, you will follow suit. Thank you, my friend. Have a good day. Nice talking to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
My Bye-bye. Pleasure. Kirk Allen.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.